sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series!
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast.
But we didn't come here to drink beer! We came here to win this ballgame!
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I said to the Uber boy, I said, take me out with the crowd!
What's going on, Cubs fans? You're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Sean Sears, and on today's episode, we bring on Russell Dorsey. He's the Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Russ_Dorsey1. Russ is on the show today to talk about Jake Arrieta. He's back. What? We talk with Russ and how weird of a situation it was to be covering Yu Darvish trade along with the Jake Arrieta signing, because those guys essentially have replaced each other in the rotation these last couple of years now. Very weird. Russ was all over the Jake Arrieta news. We talked to him about that, and he is also, we caught him right before he was heading out to spring training in Arizona. Actually, we talked to him Saturday. He left Sunday. He's in Arizona now, but we get his thoughts about the Cubs in general heading into spring training, what he's looking for from this team to get an idea if they can be a true, you know, competing team in the NL Central, defending their you know, title crown from last year, or if this is a team that might seriously look into trading options. We talk about the extension talks that could potentially happen. Russ is a little optimistic. He thinks there'll be talks that happen at the happen during spring training, but, you know, outside of a Javier Baez extension, he's not quite sure what to expect. But we dive into that, as well as what this rotation could look like for, you know, 2021 and further here, with some options obviously in this rotation that should be here long term, but other guys like Adbert Alzolay, Braylon Marquez, who could come up and make an impact on this team and for hopefully a foreseeable future. So we get a lot to talk about with Russ. He's a great guy. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Russ_Dorsey. But with that, let's kick it over to our interview with Russ Dorsey. Hey guys, Sean Sears here from Locked On Cubs to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar is one of the best tasting protein bars I've ever had. I know I talk to you guys about this all the time, but Built Bar is not only one of the best tasting protein bars with flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake. It's a new one I've been trying. Those are all new flavors, but they've got their original flavors too, like peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie. I love mint brownie. That's been my breakfast of choice the last couple months now. But the bars are 100% covered in chocolate, super easy to chew, soft, but the best thing about them is they're healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy, losing weight, whether that's losing, maintaining weight. It's a nice treat to indulge yourself with. They're low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, high protein. It's great for the keto diet if you're trying to lose weight during quarantine here right now. But take, for instance, the cherry baraka. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. That is incredibly healthy for you, is good for you, obviously, but also tastes really good. It's a nice snack to have throughout the day. It's better than me chewing on, like, I don't know, a donut. I'm a big fan of Goldfish and chips and crackers. It's nice to be able to just eat one of these protein bars. I'm relatively full. I don't snack throughout the day, and I'm ready to eat dinner later on in the day. It's nice. I don't spoil my meal, and my girlfriend doesn't get mad at me when I don't want to eat the dinner she just made. But Built Bar has the promo code Locked On to get yourself 20% off your next order. So you head to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You save yourself 20% off your next order of Built Bars. They're delicious. They're nutritious. They're easy to bring anywhere on the go. Great snack for work from home. Head to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On, save yourself 20% off, and give these guys a shout out. They've been doing awesome work for the Locked On Network and are making some of the best protein bars you'll ever have. Hey, Locked On fans, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real updates on odds and props, on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use the mobile app device to sign up today and receive 50% off on a welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Use promo code LOCKEDON. All right, Cubs fans. Joining me today is Russell Dorsey. He is the Chicago Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times and a really great dude. Russ, thanks for being on the show, man. How you doing?
Sean, I appreciate you having me on as always. I am doing very well, staying busy, packing up stuff for Arizona, trying to find shorts after not wearing shorts for months. But it's been a busy Saturday, but a good Saturday.
Yeah, man, I mean, I wish my problems were trying to find my shorts right now. That would be pretty sweet. But obviously, you're getting ready to head out to Arizona. Mm-hmm. As we were talking beforehand, this Cubs team, there's a lot of questions coming into this team. And we knew this was kind of be an offseason full of questions. And some answers have kind of come into the fold. We got sort of a big answer last night. And I know you were kind of all over the news when it was breaking. But sounds like, reportedly, Jake Arrieta has agreed to a one-year deal with the Cubs. How weird is that?
Very, very weird. I think it's one of the things I wrote in today's paper was that, you know, the Cubs might be might not be a lot of things, but interesting is not one of them. Like they're gonna keep you engaged. They're gonna keep you talking about them, whether that's for, you know, early in the offseason, it was, are they gonna sign people? Oh, clearly they're shedding salary. They're going to be in this rebuild or retool or whatever you want to call it. And, oh, we found some money. So now we're going to spend and we're going to get Doc Peterson and we're going to get Jake Arrieta and sign Trevor Williams. So there's a lot of there are a lot more. There's still, even after the signing of Jake Arrieta, there's still a lot more questions than answers. Like in your rotation, which is the biggest question mark for them, can we know that at this point in Kyle Hendricks' career, that takes care of itself. Like, Kyle is on cruise control all the time, and I don't expect anything less. But after him and Zach Davies, who's going to step up in that number three spot? Is it going to be Jake Arrieta? Is it going to be Trevor Williams coming off of a couple of rough seasons? Is Adbert Alzolay finally going to get that opportunity to pitch, you know, full-time as a starter in the big leagues? Is Alec Mills going to be able to beat out Adbert Alzolay for that fifth spot in the rotation now with Arrieta coming in and basically, you know, limiting their options to just that final rotation spot? Like, what's going to happen there? And will those guys stay healthy? I think that's another big part of it. And why whoever loses out between Adbert and Alec Mills, like, that guy's still going to play a really important role as a swingman in the bullpen, you know, a guy who can come in and make maybe 10, 11 starts for you. Guy goes down with injury. Maybe at some point you decide to go to a six-man rotation. So I think that they are an improved team in from where they were when the offseason was at its midpoint. Like after Christmas, after the Darvish trade, I think they're a better team today than they were then. But there's still a lot of questions that have to be answered before we can say, okay, the Chicago Cubs are a legitimately good baseball team.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair assessment. There's a lot of questions, and that, like, even though the Cubs have maybe plugged some holes in, that the Yu Darvish trade definitely created more questions than it solved, obviously. And, you know, that's it is what it is now, unfortunately.
Right.
Compared to some of the other trades, honestly, you could say the Cubs got a decent return if you want to look at what the Rockies got for Arenado. But, you know, obviously, there's still a lot of questions on this team in general. I know the outfield is still kind of a mixed bag. Obviously, you've got Jack Peterson in left field. It sounds like, at least from his article with the Players Tribune, that he's going to get a shot to start. But they also brought in Philip Irving, Jake Marcinik. He's in the picture now. A great, super defensive stud outfielder. That'll be nice. And then obviously Ian Happ and Jason Hayward fill out the rest of this. But I guess what is your feeling on Jack Peterson? I know people kind of immediately made the comparison to Schwarber, and like numbers kind of make sense, but in terms of like watching them play, they're kind of two different players in that sense. What's your feel on Peterson?
Yeah, I think at this point in each of their careers, while the numbers would say similar players, similar skill sets, and I think the market kind of showed that, the market looked at them in the same way. Right. Like all those guys, Eddie Rosario, Jack Peterson,
definitely
Kyle Schwarber, all those guys got lumped together in the same, I guess, mold. And ironically, they all came up to free agency at the same time. And that kind of hurt each of them in their own different ways. But I think Jack Peterson definitely helps the Cubs. I think there were other outfielders on the market who you say, all right, if the Cubs got that player, all right, it would be different, maybe a different skill set, but they might take a step back as far as offense goes. But I don't think the Cubs lose anything here offensively. You have a guy who has big power, is a lot better hitter than I guess the overall numbers might say sometimes, especially against right-handed hit pitching. I don't think you're going to see him in there often against left-handers. I know they said they're going to give him every opportunity to play. That's fine. But I think when we look back, he's going to have a majority of his starts against right-handed pitching. Maybe he'll get a chance to face some soft tossing left-handers if that comes up during the season. But I think it was a good addition for the Cubs. It definitely improves them on the defensive end in left field. And if their defensive alignment, you know, with the addition of Jake Marisnyk, obviously that gives you a big, big plus on the defensive end. That's a guy who, since he's come into the league, has been one of the best defensive outfielders in baseball. So you could theoretically see an outfield in the ninth inning of a one-run game where it's Jason Hayward in right, Jake Marisnyk in center, and pick, you know, whether you want Jock out there in left or Ian Happ out there in left. Like, I think that puts the Cubs in a really good position defensively. And then, you know, on the infield with that, you have Nico Hoerner, you know, showed in his first full season in the big leagues that he was one of the better defenders at second base in baseball. Javi, we already know what he does. Anthony Rizzo, same thing. And then Chris Bryant, who had a really strong season defensively. I think the Cubs are in a position where, you know, their calling card might be what they do on the defensive end, which with a starting rotation of a lot of sinker ballers where the ball's going to be put in play, being able to catch that baseball is going to be more important than it has been in the last couple of years for them. With a lot of guys who, you know, they're not going to throw over 92 miles an hour, you're going to have to be able to catch the baseball. So with the guys that they brought in and the guys that they have as position players, I think they're going to be in a position to at least make some plays defensively for that rotation.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it's a good, I think, a smart move by the Cubs. If you're recognizing that, like, hey, our rotation's really starting to have kind of like one identity, we should make sure defensively we at the very least have guys who we can at least plug in and play differently. If we don't want Peterson in a matchup later on where we might be shooting balls into left field, you want a guy who's shirt gloved. Like, yeah, you bring in Masaryk, or you flip Happ into left field, maybe put him in center. You've got options then at least, and that's great. I wonder about the infield, though. I know, like, we know, like you said, Nico Hoerner and Javi Baez in the middle infield is pretty solid. That's going to be a really nice combination up the middle. And then, obviously, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, really strong on the outside. You know, people give Bryant a hard time on his defense, even though he, like, if there was one thing he did last year, is prove that the guy can play some defense at the hot corner. So everyone needs to shut up about that, but you've got good players there. But I guess on the days you do want to have Javi Baez sit out, David Bodie comes into play a little bit, but they don't really have that Jason Kipnis, I guess Daniel Descalso type of role guy on this roster. Is there anyone you're seeing, at least maybe from the minors, or someone who could come up and fill that role for them this year?
As of right now, because of the addition of Marisnyk and after the addition of Arrieta, there's going to be, you know, they were already pretty much set as far as their bench went and that bullpen. So maybe that last bullpen spot. So a guy like Robert Stock, who would probably have made the bullpen, or now you have Dwayne Underwood, who's probably going to be bumped, especially because whoever loses out on that fifth starter spot is going to have to go to the bullpen. So somebody's going to lose a spot in the bullpen. As far as the bench goes, I think that Philip Ervin had a good chance to make the team before Marisnyk, but I know in some lineups you could throw Ervin out in left field against left-handed pitching, and then Marisnyk would be your defensive specialist, add some speed late in games. But sure, I wouldn't see the – it would almost be redundant, even though they're kind of two different players, to have Marisnyk and Ervin both make the roster. So I would imagine that Ervin becomes organizational depth and is one of those guys, all right, if he doesn't make the roster by June 1st, opts out, becomes a free agent. I think as far as their other bench spots, I think David Bodie is going to play that role of that main off-the-bench guy for them, play third base, play second base, come off the bench, especially with the, you know, the designated hitter not coming back to the National League, at least right now.
Right.
You know, late game situations where you need somebody to pinch hit and double switches, all that good stuff. So David Bodie's going to be there for that. And then I think that they didn't have that person that could play shortstop if Javi needed a day off. So Ildemar Vargas is a guy that I think, you know, defensively is going to have to be that guy for them. They picked up Sergio Alcantara off of waiver. Same deal, basically the same player.
Both switch hitters,
right.
Yeah.
Right, so but both defensive, like, minded shortstops. So I think that's going to be a battle in the spring. All right, who's going to get that last bench spot to be the backup shortstop between Vargas and Alcantara? So I think Vargas has an inside track at it, but who knows? If Alcantara comes in and swings his bat well, maybe he gets that last spot. So I think their bench is probably going to be Bodhi, Austin Romine, Jake Mariznick, and I'm projecting Ildemar Vargas.
Yeah, that's about what I'd have too. I know, I think it was Emily Walden, and because I think Alcantara was a Tigers prospect for a bit. She had some good things to say about his glove, and I always pay attention to what she says. So I was like, okay, that's cool. But I looked at his splits, and yeah, it's like, okay, basically less good of a hitter than Ildemar Vargas. Right. I don't know if that's who we want to roll with, but hey, it's good guy to add, especially this time of a transition type of year. But of course, we're speaking with Russell Dorsey. He's the beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Russ_Dorsey1. You're getting ready to go to spring training, man. I guess, like, looking at this team now, I know we were talking before, you're getting super excited to not deal with the cold here. As we
absolutely.
Both
like,
look at the snow right now.
Negative 30 windshield for Sunday, and I was talking to my mom this morning. I'm like, sorry, Mom, you cannot fit in my suitcase. So I'll send you pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, show her some of those tiki drinks.
Right.
If they have those, I don't know if they're still doing
find
that.
Find a corner and a fire pit and watch the sunset. Do some stuff like
that. Yeah, there you go, man. That's not bad. But obviously, spring training coming along here. This team, it's still kind of, we're definitely in a wait-and-see process, but we did get kind of a little note that it sounds like the Cubs are going to try and broach some type of extension talks for the Cubs. Some of their core players, obviously, we know there's four guys who I think everyone's wondering are staying or going, being Rizzo, Baez, Bryant, and Contreras. The Cubs got close, it sounds like, to some type of extension with Baez. Do you have any, like, should fans be optimistic that some type of extension's getting done here before spring training, or is this just kind of like revisiting the topic?
I know interest is there on both sides. I know that from Javi's camp, I know that that's something that they would want. I know we've heard Javi talk about how much he loves Chicago, how much he wants to be there. And I wrote a story, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, about why a contract extension for both sides would be, you know, they're both sides are better together than they are apart. And I think what Javi represents as a player and for the Cubs brand and for his brand, I think it makes total sense to stay here and be a lifetime Cub. I think from the Cubs standpoint, you know, even if you're going to go into this transition where you're bringing up younger players and all that, like, look back when the Cubs really decided to go to a youth movement in 2014. Like, they went and got Anthony Rizzo, locked him up, and let him grow with these other young players. And by the time that they were ready to go as a playoff team, he was an established veteran. Then you surround that guy with young, talented players, other veterans. So if you think about bringing up Brendan Davidson a year or two, Miguel Amaya in a year or two, like, they're still going to have a veteran to watch, to be around, that presence in the clubhouse, and a guy in the lineup that you can count on every day. And Javi is only 28 years old right now. So when those guys come up, potentially, he'll be 30 years old. He's still
in his prime.
Yeah. So I think that's a reason to extend him into the future. And if obviously I think Anthony Rizzo, I think that situation is going to take care of itself. Like, I don't see him not being a member of the Chicago Cubs. Obviously, we've seen things change. Like, I didn't think that John Lester would leave the way he did. Things happen. And I think if they could go back and redo that, I think they might. Like, especially with us seeing that they brought Jake Arrieta back for seemingly the same money that Lester got, and you're paying Lester a little bit this year anyway, even though he's not on the team. So I think if they could go back and redo that one, they might bring him back. But I think you give him a deal like Jose Abreu got, you know, with the White Sox.
True.
I think that's a deal that both sides, both Rizzo and the Cubs would be happy with. So, yeah, I think extension talk is going to heat up here. Will anything get done before the season starts? I don't know, but I definitely know on both sides there's interest from both camps, from especially the Javi and the Cubs situation. I think that's a, that's one, especially with you look at next year's free agent market with Trevor Story, Lindor, if he makes it to free agency and doesn't sign an extension, and Corey Seager, and Carlos Correa and Marcus Semien. I think there's a lot of reasons that Javi would sign an extension early as opposed to saying, you know what, I'm going to gamble and be there with all those guys. Let me just get mine out of the way and go from there.
Right. Especially, I mean, it, you would hope no one really hold that 2020 against him that much, but you know teams will.
And
they're already doing it.
Defensively, he does a lot of things that, you know, pushes him ahead of a lot of different players and what he does running the bases.
True.
I think some of those things, especially the base running aspect, don't get seen a lot. I think that's what would separate him and a guy like Trevor Story for what those guys can do on the bases as well as defensively. I think those are the two most, you talk about true value. I think what those guys bring to the table on the defensive end really set them apart.
Yeah, and that's a great point. A lot of people don't. I was victim to this too a little bit when Javi Baez was first coming up. I honestly thought like some of those kind of crazy rundowns or insane tags he had were just like him being like just a little too cocky.
Yeah.
And like I look back at it now, I'm like, God, I was such a dick. Like he was so good, and I was just being like, stop trying to be cool. And it's like, what am I saying? Like this is awesome. And you look back at that, I think a lot of it had to do with like him being 17 and having the MLB logo tattooed on his back. Yeah. I just thought like I'm 17. If I played against that guy in high school, I'd be like, okay. But you know, he's an awesome player. And I think a lot of it is really instinctual. He's just such a smart player. And that's, I think, something only Cubs fans have picked up on here these last couple of years. And I think a lot of people who have appreciated Javi now is who are outside of the Chicago market are seeing a little bit of that. But he's just so good on the bases. He knows when to like really kind of dupe guys into thinking he's going to stop at first and just keeps going to second. And it's those little things that really do make him stand out. He's definitely a guy I've grown to very much love now. It would be awful to see him or Rizzo in a different jersey. Right. But speaking of upsetting fans, Pecota projections came out. I know you're a BP guy. I know you put something out saying early on, you know, hey, Pecota's just projections. Yes. But this year, the Pecota projections were, I mean, in a year where the Cubs were looking like they're going down, Pecota was kind of nice to them, actually. They don't like their rotation, but offensively, it looks like they're projecting a lot of these guys to have bounce back years. Well, I guess, what were your thoughts on those projections?
Well, yeah, I guess when you get past the, listen, it's like I said, it's a projection and it's, you know, guys still have to go out there and perform. I do think there is something to each of those guys in that lineup, with the exception of Ian Happ and Jason Hayward, had the worst season of their careers last year. Nobody ever got on track. So if those guys perform to their averages or are at minimum league average, they're going to have bounce back years. And who knows what we're going to get from the rotation, but if there's going to be one thing that this lineup can do, if you have over 162 guys hitting on all cylinders, they're going to be able to score runs. Now, that might mean a lot of 7-6 games. That might mean a lot of 5-4 games. There might not be those 2-1 games or 2-0 games that we've seen in the past when they had really strong starting pitching. But they're going to be able to put up a lot of different, you know, runs. And I wouldn't be surprised if they led the National League Central in runs scored. Like, that wouldn't shock me at all. Especially with, you know, their lineup is going to have Wilson Contreras, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, a new Ian Happ that's found himself offensively, and Jock Peterson, and Nico Horner, who hasn't really found himself as a hitter in the big leagues. Like, there's a lot to like. Those are, you have at least four guys who could win an MVP if they have a great year. They have one who's already won one. You have one that came in second place. You have another guy who's been top five 2 times. So this is a lineup that a lot of teams around the game would envy. But because of a lot of different situations, it's like, oh, well, end of the road for these guys. And because they didn't necessarily perform like a lot of people thought they would over the last 5 years after the World Series, people are kind of down on them. But I think it would be naive to think that in this last real go-round for this team as currently assembled, that they can at least, you know, put up what their averages are.
Right. I think that's really fair. And I think you're right. I think there's going to be, it's going to look like a bounce back season, but it's really just these guys returning to their career norms. Because 2020, like you said, outside of Hayward and Happ, was just awful. The only guy that looked like he was coming out of it towards the end was Contreras a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that was like a lot of just like dropping base hits and not trying to drive the ball, but just get on base. And that was great until they got to the faced the Marlins and, you know, didn't score runs and stuff. And then, you know, everything else happened from that offseason. So I can see why a lot of fans are very much like anticipating this team kind of looking different, or just kind of another like go of it with like a little bit disappointment. Cause like you saw this last year and it wasn't great, but I think we have to like all recognize too, like there was just a lot of different things happening, a lot of injuries you were dealing with, a lot of just a team that ultimately is really streaky when you come down to it. A lot of these players like have really great time moments in the season, but have also really down portions of the season too. Like we got like a third of it in 60 games. We don't know if they could have pulled themselves out of it, but at least, you know, presumably, as long as there isn't a trade going around, you've got your guys that we were clutching our pearls worried about. Like Chris Bryant's still on this team, at least for the moment. Wilson Contreras, it doesn't look like he's going to get moved right now, at least. Like these guys are still here, and this team is still in a very competitive but winnable division. So I don't know. There's a lot to be excited about, I think, still, even though fans are a little down on this transition 2021. But I guess last question for you here, Russ, before we wrap up. Going into spring training now, what's the one thing you're looking towards to like give you an idea of what direction this team might be going? Like what type of like either like, you know, statistic or like just like collectively, is this something the team's doing well that's going to tell you, yeah, okay, maybe these guys got a shot?
If they stay healthy, I think they have a shot to win the division again. I think that's going to be a really big thing for them, because if you look across the board, they don't have a ton of depth in any area, you know, especially the starting pitching. Like you're asking Kyle Hendricks to do a lot, a guy who's never been injured. And if you're Cubs fans out there, you're knocking on wood right now, but you know, I expect Kyle Hendricks to be Kyle Hendricks. I expect Zach Davies, who's been a solid starting pitcher in the big leagues, to be Zach Davies. But after that, you know, Jake Arrieta has been injured each of the last three seasons. You know, that's something that's becoming a trend, that's not an exception. Trevor Williams has had a couple of bad seasons in a row after his, you know, really great 2017 season, when he looked like one of the up and coming pitchers in the National League with the Pirates. So there are a lot of questions there. And depth it might be the biggest question on the roster. Like if you have a guy that goes down, you're going to be in a really difficult situation to try and overcome that. So if a guy gets hurt early here in the spring, that could really set them back.
Right.
The saving grace and all that is you're in maybe the worst division in baseball. So it's not like anybody's, you know, you're not playing the Dodgers. Like, it's not like it's going to run away from you. You know, a lot of these teams, even with the addition of Arenado, with the Cardinals, even with the Brewers adding Colton Wong, like, other than that, none of those teams made huge additions. Like, bringing back Adam Wainwright, all right, whatever. Bringing back Yadier Molina at 100 years old, all right, cool.
100, yeah.
That's great. the Cubs probably made more additions than anybody else towards their 2021 roster. So division's not going anywhere. If they stay healthy and they perform to their averages, they'll be playing meaningful games in September and potentially winning another NL Central title.
Yeah. And honestly, especially if the team is like full on telling you, at least at the start, like this is a year where we are putting a greater focus on the future. If they were to still take the division, like that's what we would want at the end of the day too. You know what I mean? Like you want a shot at trying to win it. That's what this team's going to try and do at least. And that's, you know, you got to commend them for that, given this difficult situation Jed kind of had dropped in his lap. But last question, I promise. Last question.
It's all good.
How is Twitter not verified you yet, man? What is going on?
Honestly, man, I don't know. I had my publication reach out to them like when I got the job. So this was almost a year ago, and had direct contact with Twitter. They said, yes, we'll get right on it. I'm the only person on the beat that doesn't have it. And it's, God. It seems trivial, and to be honest, it probably is. And I hadn't said anything about it because I'm thinking, like, nobody wants to hear about me complaining that I don't have a blue check. And it's not super important, but it's kind of important in tweet placement and all that other stuff. And
right, right.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I really don't. It's just like, how can I break news and not be, like, how does that work? Like, dude, if somebody who breaks
I know.
News is verified, it's not like I'm faking it, you know? I yeah. could be Joe Schmo out there pretending to be Russ Dorsey and breaking news, but whatever, dude. I don't know.
Just stupid. I was like, who do I need to yell at? Like, yeah, like get him on the phone.
To yell at, I'm going to do that. So oh, as dude, long as I'll be right there folks with you. Can find me at Russ_Dorsey1. It's all good.
Yeah, that's your guy. He is breaking news. It's not Joe Schmo, I promise. But Russ, I appreciate you coming on today, man. I know it's a weekend. I know you're getting ready to head out to Arizona, but it was nice of you to find the time. I hope you enjoy your long trip, and hopefully it's not too brutal in Chicago when you make your way back here, all right?
Absolutely. I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, man. Of course, guys, you can follow him on Twitter at Russ_Dorsey. He's the beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he'll be covering the Cubbies from Arizona all season long, so, or at least spring training. He's going to leave Arizona afterwards, but Russ, thanks for taking the time. There you go. Man.
Thank you, man.
All right, that will do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs. We appreciate Russ Dorsey taking the time to talk to us. We know he's a busy guy. We know he's in Arizona now, but it was great that he could squeeze us in on a weekend. Get his thoughts here on this Cubs team. You can follow him on Twitter at Russ_Dorsey1. He'll be covering all the spring training here in Arizona for the Sun-Times. And as he told us on the show, I think he's going to be there the longest out of anyone. So he's going to be posted up in Arizona. I know Russ was talking about how he was struggling to find shorts and warm weather clothing for this trip to Arizona while we all got annihilated by snow here in Chicago. So I hope Russ is enjoying himself in Arizona, but we always appreciate him talking with us. But with that is today's show. We appreciate you guys sticking around. As always, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. But with that, you guys enjoy the rest of your day and keep an eye out for more episodes later this week as we get more news about this Cubs team as more and more players report to spring training. With that, enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, Go Cubs.